We pray that you know that this evening. We want to read six different verses tonight for our text. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians 15. Each of these verses, we read of the characteristics of the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The grace of God which was with me. Characteristic number one is God's grace is present. It is present. God's grace was with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll read verse 8. "But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Here we see God's grace is exhaustless. It is all grace. It cannot be depleted. It is also said to abound, which means that it overflows and goes beyond all else. So God's grace is present. God's grace is exhaustless and abounding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." God's grace is sufficient, simply meaning that it is capable, it is suitable, it is appropriate. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we'll read verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." God's grace is exceeding abundant. That is, it surpasses all else. It means that it is not only plentiful, but it is exceeding so. In other words, it is more than plentiful. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help," grace to help in time of need. God's grace helps. That is, it gives aid. It gives assistance. It gives relief. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, the last of our texts, 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, "And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Which means that it is of great diversity. It is of great variety. It has many features. It has many purposes. For example, there is enabling grace. There is supplying grace. There is preventing grace. There is sustaining grace. There is persevering grace. On and on we can go. There is grace that gives strength. There is grace that gives peace. There is grace that gives calm. There is grace that gives assurance. There is grace that gives courage. There is grace that gives wisdom. There is grace that gives direction. There is grace that gives instruction. There is grace that gives joy and gladness. God's grace is manifold. I want to speak tonight. It's a long title. The present, exhaustless, abounding, sufficient, abundant, manifold grace of God for living life. Did you get that, Brother Tim? We'll just call it grace for living life. But grace is God's unmerited favor. We know that. But it is also, it's God's activity moving toward us, not because we deserve it, but it's because of His favor, because He loves us. But it's the activity of God moving toward us. That's a wonderful thought. It is God coming to us. Grace is God coming to you and I. It is God intervening in our lives. And all of this is out of love and free favor. In other words, it's unmerited. So it is God's power, it is God's love, it is God's care made available to you and I. As we saw this morning, the Bible very clearly declares and teaches that salvation is by grace. The Bible is very plain. Salvation is by grace. We that have been saved by the grace of God, we have some comprehension of the fact that salvation is by grace. And the more we understand that, the more marvelous it becomes. The more amazing God's grace is. Our emphasis tonight is not going to be salvation by grace. But our emphasis is going to be that since we have experienced God's saving grace, we can live in the domain of God's grace. We can live our life knowing that there is grace for living. Paul perhaps had a better understanding of salvation by grace than any other writer of the Bible. He also had a grasp upon the importance and the need of living life in the domain of God's grace. And therefore, he closed his letters with these words, "Grace be with you." You see that in Romans 16:24, 1 Corinthians 16:23, 2 Corinthians 13:14, Galatians 6 verse 18, Ephesians 6 verse 24, Philippians 4, 23, Colossians 4 verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, 28, 2 Thessalonians 3, 18, 1 Timothy 6, 21, 2 Timothy 4, 22, Titus 3, 15, Philemon verse 25. He closed his letters with those words, "Grace be with you." In those letters, he is addressing different individuals living in different places, living in different times, living under different circumstances. He's addressing people with a variety of needs. And he says to each one of them, grace, God's grace, be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He knew that no matter who they were, no matter where they were, no matter what was going on in their life, they needed the grace of God. And that is still so today. And I pray that you and I would never forget the fact that we have been saved by the grace of God. That we would never, ever lose sight of just how amazing of a subject that is, the grace of God. Again, most people in most churches today that sing the song Amazing Grace have no idea what they're singing. In fact, most churches preach against the very song that they sing without knowing they're doing so. That's another message. But we must not lose sight of how amazing God's grace is. We still need God's grace. You and I that have been saved, we still need every single day the grace of God. And we need to live our lives realizing that I can live my life in the domain of God's marvelous, wondrous, amazing grace. We read in Acts 4, verse 33, concerning the apostles, and great grace was upon them all. We need that. We need that tonight. That great grace would be upon us all. We are reminded in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 that God is the God of all grace. Grace comes from God. He is the dispenser of grace. We are reminded in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 that the Bible is the word of His grace. We are reminded in Hebrews 4 and verse 16 that there's such a thing as a throne of grace. And we are invited to approach it. And we are invited to draw from it. So there is God, the dispenser of grace. We would be wise to draw near to God. There is the Word of God, which is the Word of His grace. We would be wise to stay in the Word of God. And there is a throne of grace, and we would be wise to approach that throne. All of those statements, God, the dispenser of grace, the Word of God being the Word of grace, and that there is a throne of grace, reminds us there is grace for living life. There is grace for living life, and there are certain places where it can be found. You can find it in God. You can find it in His Word. You can find it at the throne of grace. You will not find grace in the world. That's not where you find grace. You do not find grace in people. It is the grace of God. And it is grace that only God can give. Now again, we want to turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Whatever kind of grace we need, whatever amount of grace we need, and may I say, God knows the kind of grace we need, and God knows the amount we need, and God has the amount we need, and whatever time grace is needed, we read here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 18, God is able. That is, God has the ability, God has the skill, God has the know-how, and this is true in all conditions, this is true in all circumstances, this is true in all times. He has what you need, and He is able, notice, to make, to cause all grace, the whole amount or quantity that you need. God is able to make all grace abound, overflow toward, in the direction of you. That's wonderful. He is able to make everything that we need to overflow in our direction. And He does so with a purpose. That is in order to that ye always, so now a time frame is covered, that ye always having, present tense, continually possessing all sufficiency, capability, enablement, suitability in all things. In every matter, in every concern, in every affair, in every situation, in every circumstance, in every event. That we would always have all sufficiency in all things, that we could abound to every good work. What that is saying is, it says a lot. But one of the things that is saying is, by God's grace, I can do what God expects me to do, what God commands me to do, what I ought to do in every circumstance that I'm in, by the grace of God. We can live in the domain of grace. I can live with the assurance that God has what I need at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, and that He is able to cause whatever it is that I need to overflow, to abound toward me, to overflow in my direction. And the result of this is that I am enabled in all things. That's what it means to live by grace. Now, the Bible tells us that God is able to do what is impossible with man. John the Baptist declared that in Luke 3 and verse 8, that God is able of these stones to raise up children. He's not going to do it, but He's able to. In other words, God can do what's impossible. People say all the time, well, I could never endure that. No, you can't. But God can do the impossible. And the God who can do the impossible is able. Remember, we said grace is God's activity toward us. It is God coming to us. And the God who can do the impossible comes to us. And that enables us to do what we think is impossible. He is able to do wonders beyond the imagination of man. Ephesians 3:20 is able to exceeding abundantly. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is able to subdue, bring into subjection all things. We read in Philippians 3:21 that God is able to do all things unto Himself. God is able to do the extreme. We read in Hebrews 7:25 that God is able to save to the uttermost. That is, to the extreme. We are to live in the consciousness and the reality of God's ability. And we are to seek God's ability. That's grace. We are to depend upon God's ability. And that's why we say to God, Lord, give me grace. That is, we're seeking His ability. We're depending upon His ability. Now, in light of the fact that God is able, keep in mind that we said God's grace is His activity toward us in favor and in love. Anytime God acts toward us in favor and love, that's a wonderful thing. That's an amazing thing. It is God coming to us. God is able, and He comes to us, thus enabling us. It is God intervening in our lives. It is God's power coming to us. It is God's love coming to us and His care made available to us. Keep in mind, this grace, it's present. It's exhaustless. You can't wear it out. It's abounding. It's sufficient. It's abundant. It's helping. And it is manifold. And what the Lord said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, He says to each one of us today that are saved, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, when we say God will give you the grace to endure, that's a fact. We are not minimizing your problems. We're not minimizing your whatever it is you're going through. It is simply a fact. God's grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. And God is able to make it overflow in our direction. Now, our lives are made up of a variety of seasons. And just like the seasons of nature, when there is a seasonal change, there is a change in length of days and in nights. And there are seasons in our lives when the nights are longer. Spiritual seasons in our lives when the nights are longer. When the seasons change on earth, there is an appearance, there is a change in appearance. We experience those same seasons in our lives. There's a variety of appearances. Keep in mind, things are not always as they appear. But there are a variety of appearances. There is a change in weather. There is a change in danger. In July, I am not in danger of slipping on ice and falling. That danger does not exist in July. It does exist now. On this date, I am not in danger of going outside and having a heat stroke. There's no danger of that happening. The same is true in our lives. There is a change in danger. Sometimes we are in great danger of certain things. There is a change in feelings and emotions. Whether people want to admit it or not, seasons have an effect on emotions sometimes and the way that we feel. Just a fact. And there is a change in opportunity. Through all the seasons of our lives, we need to hear the Lord say to us, My grace is sufficient for thee. I believe we need to hear that every day. My grace is sufficient for thee. You don't know what you're going to go through by the end of this day. But my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, whatever it is that we are going to go through in life, there's grace for that. God has provided grace. We not only need to hear the Lord speaking, "My grace is sufficient for thee," we're to look for it. We're to look for God's grace. Not because we're deserving of it, but because God is gracious and because God has promised to provide it. So we're to look for His grace. We're to depend upon His grace. Not because we deserve it, but because He promised it. We're to draw from His grace. Now in our lives, there are times of great need. It's always a time of great need. It just sometimes we realize it more than others. We're always in great need. There are times of great physical need. If we live long enough, we will probably come to a time in our life where we have great physical need. There's grace for that. There can be times of emotional need. We could go on all night. On the times of emotional need. But in those times, there is grace for that. There, of course, are always spiritual needs. Never a time when I'm not in spiritual need. And there's grace for that. And we all know by experience that these times of need can at times be overwhelming. They can overwhelm us. Physical needs can overwhelm us. Financial needs, material needs, they can overwhelm us. Emotional needs, spiritual needs. Not only our own needs, but the needs of others. These things can be overwhelming. But I assure you tonight, whatever your need is, there's grace for that. And it's sufficient. Whatever your need might be. There are heavy, troublesome, gnawing, draining cares and burdens. These cares and burdens can concern every area of our life. There's not a single area of our life where we may not experience some cares and burdens that just gnaw us and trouble us. But there's grace for that. And God's grace is sufficient. There are difficulties. Everyone experiences difficulties. You're not going to get through life without them. There are difficulties. There are going to be times that are just plain difficult. There are difficulties. There are trials. No one is above difficulties. No one is above trials. There are tribulations. No one's above these things. There are extreme pressures that weigh heavy upon us. And again, these difficulties and trials and tribulations and pressures, they can concern every area of our life. They can come from anywhere. And these things go beyond human strength. There are difficulties and trials and tribulations that are way past any effort you put forth. They go way beyond human strength. They go way beyond human ability. But there's grace for that. And God's grace is sufficient. There are times of bad news. Phone can ring tonight, and you can receive the worst news you've ever received. There are times of bad news. And bad news can concern almost every area of our life. But again, there's grace for that. And it is sufficient. We need to keep that in mind. Because there's coming a day when you're going to receive some bad news. And you need to know there's grace for that. And you need to know where to find it. You won't find it out in the world. You won't find it in your friends. It's God. There's going to be, you're going to experience some bad news. We've all received bad news in times past. I have been with people many times, or a few times, who have received the news that you have but a short time to live. And I have witnessed. I've never been told that. I've never been told you have 2 months to live. I have been with people who have. And I have witnessed that there's grace for that. And I believe there's grace for that. There's grace for that. And God's grace is sufficient. I have been with families in the surgical waiting rooms who the doctor comes out and they receive news that surgery didn't go well. There's really nothing we can do. Surgery didn't go well for your loved one. And I have witnessed that there is grace for that. I have been with those who the surgeon has come out, or the chaplain, and said your loved one did not make it through surgery. You and I may experience these things. Some may already have. I know some have. But there's grace for that. And God's grace is sufficient. It doesn't minimize it. I'm not minimizing these things. But there is grace for that. There are sorrows. There are heartaches. There are times of anguish and distress. And those things can come from, again, almost any direction and can concern almost every area of our lives. And these things, these sorrows, these heartaches, this anguish, can be almost beyond belief. Almost beyond imagination. And they can overwhelm us. And they can consume us. But there's grace for that. And it is sufficient. I have, and many of you have as well, there's grace for when you have to sign the paper to put a mom or a dad in a nursing home. There's grace for that. There's grace when you walk into a nursing home and visit your loved ones and precious saints of God who are just a shell of what they once were. There's grace for that. Didn't say it was easy. Paul prayed concerning the thorn of his flesh. God didn't take it away. He just said, my grace is sufficient. And there is grace. I've been at the bedside of the dying many times. I've never been dying. But I've been at the bedside of the dying many times, and I have witnessed that there is such a thing as dying grace. I believe with all my heart. Never experienced dying grace. Haven't needed to yet. But I know it's real. There is such a thing as dying grace. I have been with families as they have had to make a decision whether or not to take their loved one off of machines. And I've had to make that decision myself. And there's grace for that. And that's never an easy decision. But there's grace for that. I have been at the bedside with families who witness their loved ones leave this life. And I have been at the bedside of loved ones who have left this life. And there's grace for that too. Didn't say it was easy. But there's grace for all of these things. Life, of course, has many disappointments. But there's grace for that as well. We have seen many, and we've heard of many more, who have departed from the faith and bring ruin into their lives. And all the disappointment and hearing that someone has denied the faith, that someone has gone off in sin, that someone has taken the same route as the prodigal son. It's disappointing. And people will disappoint us all the time. We'll disappoint ourselves. But there's grace for that also. There are times of chaos and turmoil. There are times of confusion and times of anxiety, times of fear. But there's grace for that. I've been with many that have had to deal with medical procedures and tests that not only aren't pleasant, they're downright scary. But there's grace for that also. There are times when there is a threat of a storm, there is a threat of danger. And there are times when we are in the very midst of the storm, in the very midst of danger. And there's grace for that also. My grace is sufficient. There are going to be some times in the furnace. If we live long enough, we're going to spend some times in the furnace. There are going to be some times in the desert. There's going to be some wilderness times. There's going to be some valley times. There's going to be some crooked and rocky road times. There are going to be some steep mountains that you have to climb. But there's grace for all of that. And that grace is sufficient. There are going to be times when we fall. There's grace for that also. There are times when we become trapped and stuck. There's grace for that too. There are times of temptation. People would have you believe today that it just was not possible for them to resist. That's a lie. Because there's grace to resist every temptation. And God will not tempt us above that we are able. There's grace for every temptation. And God's grace is sufficient. There are times of raging battles within ourselves. There are times when we fight enemies outside of ourselves. There are times of inward struggle within and without. And there are times when we find ourselves face to face with giants. And there are times that you must wrestle with Satan and your own sinful flesh. But there's grace for all of those times. There are times of slander. There are times of false accusations. There are times when you will be abandoned and persecuted. But there's grace for that also. My grace is sufficient for thee. There are times of darkness. There are times, just like there in the book of Acts chapter 27, when Paul is on the ship. It was so dark they couldn't see any light anywhere. There are going to be those times. There are times of darkness. But there's grace for the dark times. There are going to be times of loneliness that no one knows anything about but the one who's lonely. But there's grace for loneliness. There are times, of course, of great change, as we've already said. Sometimes things are just in an upheaval, and everything seems to be uncertain. There's grace for that. There's grace for all of these things. It is present grace. It is exhaustless. It is abounding. It is sufficient. It is abundant. It is helping. And it is manifold. And as Paul found out concerning his thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him, God's grace does not necessarily take away any of these things. But God's grace does give enablement. How many times we've said, oh, I couldn't do that. But you did. And you look back and you don't even know how you did it. That's called grace. Someone say, how did you get through that? I really don't know. Other than God's grace. God's grace does enable. God's grace does sustain. You think about it. You have a rough day. And you think, I can't get through this day. But tomorrow comes. You got through it. Wasn't easy. But you got through it. That's grace. That's God's grace. It provides strength. He gives peace. There's nothing like the peace of God. And that's why Paul referred to it as a peace that passeth understanding. There's a peace. There's an assurance. For 5 years, I watched my dad in the nursing home and often told my wife that other than him being unsaved, which of course was a great concern, I think I'm prepared for his death because the father I've known has been gone for several years. But I was mistaken. Because when he took his last breath, I realized, no, I wasn't prepared. But there was grace for that. And then, a week or two later, a couple weeks later, it tormented me where he was spending eternity. And I knew that God is good no matter what he does, and I believe that. But it was tormenting me. I thought of all the messages that I preached on hell, and I could picture him. I don't know for sure that that's where he is. I don't know that it isn't. But it was tormenting. And then one night, God came to me and he said, "You just think about the times that you had and be thankful, and you leave the rest with me and don't you worry about it." That's grace. That's grace. God's grace. God's grace gives courage. There are many fearful things that we might have to go through. I've seen people go through things and I thought, oh, how horrible. I've seen people die very painful deaths. And I've seen people go through things that are very, very fearful. And we all have. And some have gone through those things. But grace gives courage. Grace gives courage. Grace also gives wisdom. It gives us direction. It points us in the direction we should go. It instructs us what to do. And in the midst of all sorrow, grace gives joy. It gives joy. We need to hear the Lord say every day, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Again, let's read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and we'll close. And put yourself in this verse. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, no matter what the circumstance, having, possessing all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We can go from here tonight. We have no idea of what we might have to face. We have no idea of what we might have to go through and experience in this life. But we can go on in life realizing this: whatever it is, there's grace for that. There's grace for that. And it is sufficient. And God is able to make it overflow in our direction. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient? If you were to go home tonight and just review your life, you would find this to be a fact. God's grace has been sufficient. God's grace has enabled us to go through whatever it is that we've gone through. That's true of all of us. And God's grace will always be sufficient. Doesn't mean that he takes away the problem. It means that he enables us to handle the problem. Doesn't mean that he takes away the sorrow or the hurt or the pain or the loneliness. It means that he enables us. He comes to us. And any time God comes to us in anything but wrath, anything other than wrath, that's grace. That's grace. Because we deserve wrath. If God comes to us in love and peace, that's grace. And there's power there. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand.